Well, I want you to look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11. It's on page 1069. We're not going to read it, but I want to point out some things about how important having heroes in the faith are. If you're looking at chapter 11 on 1069, here's what it says. And I'm just going to read the first part of each one of these little paragraphs. And it starts with now faith. And it talks about what faith is. But then down in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And it goes on, by faith, Sarah. This is often called the hero chapter of the Bible. And what it's basically saying is we wouldn't be here if a lot of people hadn't done something before we got here. We are preceded by a cast of characters, some of which are very famous, maybe some not so famous. My wife and I were talking just the other evening about heroes, and I asked her who her heroes were. I'm so glad my daughter Nicole is here today over there. And so I got one of my family members here, and I appreciate the prayers for Nicole. I asked Abel who your heroes are. She said, well, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a nurse. So when I was a kid, she read about Florence Nightingale and Clara Barton. She says, I've always felt like Abraham Lincoln was a great hero. And she said, in the Bible, I think about Ruth, I think about Esther, and I think about Sarah. And she says, I think the greatest hero I have known is my dad, Eldon Pentecost. And you know, we overlap there because he was one of my great heroes as well. He's gone to be with Jesus now. But I think he was one of the finest human beings I've ever met. I was very fortunate to have a father-in-law like that who happened to be my friend, not just my father-in-law. I miss him every day. I think about Daniel. I'm kind of, you know, there's the big names in the Bible, but I think about Daniel. I think about Stephen. I think about John the Baptist. I think about Noah. All these people who just did stuff that was like off the scale that we don't necessarily celebrate very much, but these are amazing people. I think about Simon Peter. I think about my speech teacher in high school, Charlotte Janes, and she encouraged me to speak. She was so responsible for me believing that I might have an opportunity to do that. And my history teacher, Doris Freeman, instilled in me a real interest in history. She's a history teacher, and I'm kind of a student in history myself. One of my greatest heroes was Sonny Steed. Many of you know him. I knew Sonny for 35 years. And the finest Christian gentleman I've ever known. Some of you knew him. You were privileged to know him. He's a hero to me. He'd be profoundly embarrassed if he heard me say this. But he's not here in the flesh, so I can say it. So the Bible is full of heroes. Life is full of heroes. So who are your heroes? Who do you look up to? It may be a famous person, maybe someone not so famous, and maybe your mom or your dad or maybe an uncle or an aunt or your neighbors or somebody you worked for or worked with, maybe even somebody younger than you that you look up to and you're amazed about how they got through the stuff that they went through. Well, the Bible is very, very concerned with heroes and role models and mentors. And I think, to be perfectly honest with you, we could use some more. Now, in fact, I don't know of a time in my lifetime, and I've been around a while, when I sense a greater need for heroes. I mean, look at the impact that Barnabas had on Paul and that Paul had on Timothy and Silas. It's the kind of the process of being influenced by others and then influencing someone who follows after you. Moses on Joshua. Think of the impact that Elizabeth had on Mary. You know, Mary was just a girl, and she's expecting, and Elizabeth was able to calm her spirit and kind of show her the way to go. So there's a lot of that in the Bible, and I want to focus on it here. Look over in on 1056. I want to look at 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. I got to find it myself. I had it marked off here. 1056. 2 Timothy 2:2. Maybe I got that. Yeah, there it is. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, Commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. There is the capsule. That's the process right there. And of course, Paul is talking to Timothy, one of his sons in the ministry, and he says, you've heard things from me, and you didn't just hear it from me. You weren't the only one. It wasn't a private conversation. Other people were listening. There were witnesses to this. And here's what you need to do, son. Commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. And the operative word there is not one we focus on too much. Also. Also means you're going to do this too. You're responsible for doing this too. And it's a life lesson for us. It's what God would have for us to do. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, I'm entrusting you. Some of you know that years ago, I wrote a weekly column for the Pasadena Citizen for about 6 or 7 years. I enjoyed doing that. It's kind of a challenge to do one a week. It's on Sunday. One of those columns is this. On the occasion of the retirement of my father in the ministry, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this appeared in the paper here in Pasadena and appeared in the paper in Shreveport. My father is retiring this Sunday. I'm not in Pasadena. In fact, there he is calling right now. I'm not in Pasadena this morning because I'm honoring him in Bossier City, Louisiana. Before you remind me that fathers never retire, and they don't, let me hasten to say that Damon Vaughn is not my biological father. I'm proud that Ralph Piper is. I talked about the young man and Walter Reed. My father fought in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam in the U.S. Army. Now that's a hero. Dr. Damon Vaughn is my father in the ministry. Only those who God has called, whom God has called to serve in the ordained ministry, will understand the importance of Dr. Vaughn in my life. But most everyone can appreciate what it means to have a mentor, an honored role model, and a wise guide on the road of service. Dr. Vaughn is that for me. Till I reached the age of 21, I believed that all preachers came from Mississippi. I simply had never met a preacher who was not from Mississippi. Did they actually have a preacher farm over outside of Jackson? I didn't know. As I grew in the faith, I discovered that the Lord had indeed raised up other ministers from other places. And from my earliest recollection till this day, September 15th, 2002, Dr. Vaughn has always represented to me a steady hand of church administration, consummate human passion, and excellent preaching of the Word of God. Well, Dr. Vaughn is the man who was standing at the foot of the aisle when I became a Christian. I walked down to share that with him. He's the man who was standing at the foot of the aisle when I walked down at the age of 21 and surrendered to the ministry. He had a profound impact on my life. And then one day, I received a phone call from Dr. Vaughn asking for help. Well, if he wanted help, I was going to do everything I could to help him. What he wanted me to be was his assistant pastor at that church, Airline Baptist Church. Well, what an honor that was. I was overwhelmed. There were Sundays that I even got to preach sometimes. And he was a tough audience because he was the finest preacher I have ever heard in person. And I mean that, absolutely. So I was in the pulpit now, and he was listening to me, and he was always kind and always helpful and always encouraging. And I wrote, you may not remember the details of a single sermon that you ever heard, but each of us remembers who performed our wedding. We remember who did our mother's funeral. We remember who showed up at the hospital that night when we were there for an emergency. We remember those people. But if they're authentic ministers, I wrote, we can remember their tender hearts and sacrifices, their prayers of emotion and faith, sometimes just their presence. I will always remember the ministry of Dr. Damon V. Vaughn, my father in the ministry. His impact on how I do what I do cannot be exaggerated. The Bible tells us there is a crown of righteousness waiting for those who serve the Lord. And even though he's retiring this Sunday, I pray that Damon waits a while before he claims his crown. But just as I have seen him approach the pulpit with great anticipation, I anxiously anticipate that day when I will see him coming down the street of gold in glory. So, Damon, my dear brother, we both know what we knew when we first enlisted in this business. Preachers never retire. They just preach until God calls them home. So, Dr. Vaughn, from one of your many sons in the ministry, thank you for showing me the way. Happily, God has blessed me with some sons in the ministry too, and I'm doing my best to be a good father to them, thanks to you. Dr. Vaughn claimed his crown of righteousness on May the 4th, 2005. My hero is my hero. We all need them. But I think more importantly, we all need to be them. There are people that could benefit from your counsel, your presence, your encouragement, maybe even occasionally your criticism, because they need to hear the truth from somebody who cares about them. God, give us some heroes. I've thought this past few weeks about Billy Graham. John spoke of him week before last in church. I had the privilege of hearing Billy Graham on several occasions in person. And we were attending a pastor's conference in Tallahassee, Florida, while he was doing a crusade, and he spoke to the pastor's conference. So I was in a room of about 200 or 300 people. He came in the side door and walked around this way, and he walked up on the platform at front because we were all mesmerized. It's Billy Graham. It's Billy Graham. Everybody look. Billy Graham. So the amazing thing happened. He got up on the platform. He walked all the way across to the other side of the platform and saw, I guess he saw him before he walked over there, George Beverly Shea. And he threw his arms around them, and they embraced in this big bear hug, and then kind of backed away each other and said something. We obviously couldn't hear what it was. I don't really remember what Billy Graham said that day. What I remember was he went across the stage and embraced a guy that he'd known for 40 years and worked with every day like he hadn't seen him in 40 years because he loved him. And I thought of that verse in the Bible that says, that we will be known by our love for each other. Our strong love for each other will prove that we are his disciples. Even when he wasn't trying, he was a witness. I mean, he just was. So I miss him already. I know you do too. I want you to look at Acts 13:36. Acts 13:36. I think we have it on the screen for you. Listen to this verse. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. Well, that's pretty profound. It doesn't just say he died. It goes to the point where it says his body decayed. And what it's really saying there is he's gone. His memory is here. His teachings were here. David, the impact that he had on the world is here. Let's face it, we're still talking about him thousands of years later. But David is buried. I have had the privilege of being in that tomb. In about 10 weeks, I'll be back over in Jerusalem. And I know I'll go to David's tomb, and it's an amazing thing to see there in Jerusalem. But David is dead. He has been buried, and probably his body has decayed. He served a purpose for his generation. Billy Graham served a purpose for his generation. Now, he lived for 99 years. George Beverly Shea died at 104. You may remember Cliff Barrows, the choir director. He died at 93. That might not be a good business, I mean, a pretty good business to go into now that I think about it, evangelism full time. They did it all their lives, literally all their lives. But Billy Graham served a purpose for his generation, and then he died, and then he was buried, and I've been to the exact spot where he is buried before, obviously. I did see where Ruth Graham was buried, but it's a beautiful, tranquil park off to the side of the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. And I could just see that place out there. It's just beautiful, the trees, the flowers, and that stone that they put over the top, buried in a casket from Louisiana State Penitentiary. I got to speak in that chapel at the Louisiana State Penitentiary. They were so excited to provide the casket for Billy Graham. What an honor. Well, thank the dear Lord that he doesn't call the qualified, he equips the called. So just in case you're saying to yourself, and you may be, I know I was, but I'll never be Billy Graham. There was only one Billy Graham. Yes, he spoke to more people than anybody in the history of the world, in person and through electronic media. So it's astounding the impact that he had. We will not see his like again, most likely. But that's not the point. The point is, this is our generation, and we have to make a difference to them. We have that responsibility to the people around us, wherever they are. Thank God he doesn't call qualified, he equips the call. Ed Stetzer, who used to head the Lifeway group, says, here's the enormous impact of Billy Graham. It's not his faith. That wasn't the impact that he had. The impact of Billy Graham was that he wasn't interested in being famous. He was interested in making someone else famous. That was his whole focus of life. His whole focus of existence was always pointing to Jesus. I mean, how many times when he spoke did he start a sentence with, "The Bible says," or "God says"? How many times did he do that? Well, every time he did that, because he was focusing on Jesus. And that's really the key to it. Now, bear with me. I'm going to do this very quick. I'm not an impersonator, but I'm going to give a tribute to Dr. Graham and his preaching. So maybe squint your eyes a little bit or look away, because I don't have the right suits and I sure don't have the right hair. And tonight, at this moment, I'm going to ask you to come to Christ. I'm going to ask hundreds of you to leave the stadium now and just walk down here on the field in front of this platform. Just come now. If you've come with friends or relatives, they'll wait. If you've come on a bus, they'll wait. Come right now. I'm going to say a word with you down here at the front. I'm going to say a prayer for you. I'm going to give you some literature, and then you can go back to the seat where you were to your friends. So come. Come, we'll wait for you. Thousands have come this week at this crusade, so why don't you join them and come right now. We'll wait. And if you're watching at home by television, we're going to ask you to pray with us. It may be a bar somewhere. It may be in a hospital. It could be at home. But wherever you are, you can ask Jesus into your heart, and I encourage you to do so this very minute. Come to Christ. And then when you do say that prayer, write to me, Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all the address you'll need. And be sure and go to church on Sunday. God bless you. Oh, how many times as a kid, before I became a Christian, have I seen him do that? And it so convicted me. Do we need another Billy Graham? Well, wait a minute. We can do this. We could share our faith. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. We have the Scripture, the same one he did, the same one the people who preceded us did, the same one who read the Scripture and shared it with us did, and it says, for I've delivered to you as the first importance. So we're here to help everyone else get there. We got a lot of work to do. Oh, Lord, give us some more heroes. We need some heroes. Billy Graham was like David. He spoke to his generation, and then he died and was buried. We can go see where he was buried today. Not forgotten, and the impact and continues. It just does. So, he just gave an invitation. That's what he did. He invited other people into the kingdom of God. Pastor Greg Laurie spoke after the passing of Billy Graham before his funeral. And he said this, I don't know that anyone will ever take Billy Graham's place, but we can all in our own way follow his example and proclaim the same gospel to the world. He was irreplaceable, but the world has changed. In each generation, God raises new men and new women to serve his people in his or her generation. It's one of the greatest lessons we can learn from Billy Graham. So, that's what it says. David died, he served God's purpose for a generation, and then he was dead and buried and decayed. Thank God for all the people who came before us. Aren't you grateful for the heroes in your life? We think about them. Maybe when you put your head on the pillow tonight, think about them. Think about those. Think about the Damon Vaughns. Think about the Stevens. Think about the Charlotte Janes. Think about Jesus. Think about Billy Graham. God, help us to be found faithful until Jesus comes. So my question for you today, and we're so glad you came, is whose hero are you? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for all the people who preceded us. The dads, the moms, the Bible characters, the teachers, the pastors, all those people who took the time, and sometimes it was really taking time, just to say a good word to me. Maybe it was constructive criticism, maybe it was a good word just when I needed it. Thank you for all them. Many have gone to be with you. I know you're taking good care of them until I see them again. But God, help us be found faithful until our time comes. Because there is a time coming when we will no longer be able to speak to our generation. God, raise up some heroes, and that's us. Thank goodness you don't have to call the qualified. You will equip the called, and you're called us. Thank you for heroes. Now, Lord, help us be one. In Jesus' name, amen.